What is the purpose? What is your goal? What is your duty? What is your responsibility when you approach death? Simply this.
We spend a good part of our lives trying to deny or ward off aging and death. The mythical fountain of youth has morphed into diets, cosmetic surgery, and all manner of other fads. But in the end, death wins, except for all those who belong to Jesus Christ. Hello and welcome to the Truth Pulpit with Don Green, founding pastor of Truth Community Church in Cincinnati, Ohio. I'm Bill Wright, and today Don begins a series titled, What Happens When You Die? Don, what's in store for us over the next few days?
To take the mystery and the fear out of death for our brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, friend, we serve a resurrected Lord who says that because He lives, we will live also. And we're going to see how to approach death in these first two messages, and then we're going to see what happens when we die. If you're a Christian, it's a glorious time for us that we're going to spend together on the Truth Pulpit here today.
We'll start in John chapter 21, verses 18 and 19. So turn there as we join Don Green now in the Truth Pulpit.
I'd invite you to turn to the Gospel of John chapter 21. The Lord's interaction with Peter is going to be our subject for today. Just looking at two verses to start with, John 21, verses 18 and 19. Jesus says, speaking to Peter, he said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will gird you and bring you where you do not wish to go." Look what Jesus was talking to him about in verse 19. He said, "Now this he said, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me." I'm going to structure its message around four main points. As we look at what the Lord said to Peter about Peter's eventual death, and let that be that which would instruct us about the way that we should think about our own exit from this planet. The first of all, I want to just talk about the problem that we have. The problem is the certainty of death. The problem is the certainty of death. This life is not going to go on uninterrupted forever, is it? We know that, but sometimes we forget and we live as though death was not a reality. We don't number our days like Psalm 90 tells us to do. We just go on with the unspoken presupposition that life tomorrow will be like life today and in an infinite unfolding of similarity. But it's not that way. And Jesus brings to Peter's mind here in this passage, he brings to his mind the upcoming certainty of his own death. You remember from verses 15 and 17 that he had just restored Peter to ministry. Asked him three times, "Peter, do you love me?" Peter said, "Yes, Lord, I love you." And in that process, Jesus commissions him to ministry. "Then go feed my lambs, shepherd my sheep." And the three times reversing the three denials that Peter had made earlier in life. But now, instead of reversing the past, he is preparing Peter for the future. And he previews Peter's subsequent earthly life for him. He gives him an insight, a window into what the end of his life is going to be. Look at verse 18 with me again. He says, "When you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wished." Peter, life used to be seemingly under your own control. You went and did what you wanted to do. You had a freedom of action. You had the strength and the vigor of youth. And you went about that way. And he says to him, "But Peter, when you grow old, it's not going to be like that." Look at verse 18 with me again. "When you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will gird you and bring you where you do not wish to go." And he makes clear what he's talking about. In verse 19, he said this, signifying by what kind of death Peter would glorify God. When he says, stretch out your hands, he's referring to the process of crucifixion. When a prisoner was prepared for crucifixion, the crossbeam would be placed on his shoulders and his arms would be tied to that crossbeam and then he would be led away to death. He'd stretch out his arms over the crossbeam and then be led away to the crucifixion site. God had appointed Peter for death by crucifixion. And it was a certainty. It was certain to come about, even though it was still 30 years future in Peter's life when Jesus spoke. He said, Peter, you're going to be crucified. Be prepared. Be ready for that. Because God has appointed it. Your death and the manner of your death is certain. Now, you read that passage, you're reading it through your yearly Bible plan or whatever, you kind of skim right through that. Say, oh, that's for Peter, huh? Wonder what's for dinner tonight. But the truth is that you and I are in a much more similar position to Peter than you might think. The truth of the matter is, for you and me, God has prepared the entirety of our circumstances of all of life. And that includes the very circumstances of your death. You don't know the details, but God will bring those details to pass as He orchestrates the totality of your life. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 says, there is a time for every event under heaven, a time to give birth and a time to die. Hebrews 9:27 says, it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment. Unless the Lord returns during your earthly life, it is a certainty that you are going to face death. There's no escaping it. Death is the consequence of our sin, and we are all going to die. Some of us are closer to it than we realize. You are going to die, and God has planned the circumstances under which you are going to die. There's a level of comfort in that, isn't it? There's a level of comfort, even though at first it sounds kind of creepy to talk this way. The truth of the matter is that the God that has had His hand on your life from birth, the God who saved you from sin, who brought you to salvation in Jesus Christ, and has lovingly guided and shepherded you up to this point where you're hearing this message, that same gracious God is the God who is sovereign over the manner in which you will lead this life as well. He gave you life, and He has appointed the time at which life will leave you, and you will enter into eternity. There's a certainty about it. Peter got a little more insight than most of us do. Jesus told him exactly what was going to happen to him. But here's what I want you to see. Even though the circumstances are withheld from our knowledge now, as we look forward into life, the exact manner in which we die, the certainty of it is no less real, and the sovereignty of God over it is no less real. This is certain. I like to look reality square in the face. I don't know about you. If I know what reality is, I want to deal with it, and then I can shape life around reality. And if death intervenes and something happens and I'm facing death sooner than I expected, that's okay. I'm ready for it at that point. And part of the Christian life is calculating the reality and certainty of death into the way that you approach life, because you live differently. Some of you, if you would calculate the reality of death and ultimate separation from earthly relationships, you wouldn't hold on to the bitternesses and the grudges and the things that have controlled you. You wouldn't hold on to that so much because you realize, look, there's a time of separation coming, and I want that separation to be a time of peace, not conflict. That's just one application among many. But if we're going to think rightly about approaching death, we have to realize that it's a certainty. This is going to happen to you and to me. And once we accept that, once we embrace that, once we start to thinking about it, we can go back to the Scriptures and say, okay, what do I do with that then? What do I do with this certain knowledge that this life is temporary? What do I do with that? How should I think about it? Well, that brings us to our second point. And I'm really excited to be able to tell you this. What is the purpose? We've seen the problem. The problem is the certainty of death. What is the purpose? What is your goal? What is your duty? What is your responsibility when you approach death? Simply this. Your purpose in dying is the glory of God. Your purpose is to glorify God when you die, and in the manner in which you approach dying. Look at verse 19 with me. Jesus said this, talking about the crucifixion. He was signifying by what kind of death Peter would glorify God. Peter was going to go through crucifixion, and as part of the outworking of God's purposes in his life, he was going to glorify God in his dying. And Peter did just that. Church history tells us that Peter was crucified during Nero's persecution in the mid-60s. And as most of you know, history tells us that Peter asked to be hung upside down when he was crucified because he felt unworthy to die as Christ did. How did Peter glorify God in his death, in his dying? He glorified God by trusting Christ even in the face of a violent death. Get this. He trusted God. He glorified God by regarding his own life as of no account. And he gave honor to Christ when he died. Knowing what was coming, knowing that it would be violent, that it would be painful, that it would be against his wishes, that it would be a death of shame, as crucifixion was an instrument of shame and torture, Peter, with clarity of mind, said, "Hey, turn me upside down, because I want to honor Christ by dying differently than he did. I'm not worthy to go out like Christ did, so turn me upside down." And honored God with the way that he died. There was a clarity of conviction, a certainty of glory, and a sense of responsibility that he would exit this earthly life in a way that brought honor to Christ. Now, again, we, you and I, are in a more similar position to Peter than you might think. Say, what does a crucifixion 2,000 years ago have to do with me? I'm not going to be crucified upside down. Well, look, again, you must calculate death into your view of life, and the desire to glorify God in death should be your desire as well. That it becomes the crowning climax of a life that you've devoted to living to his glory. And so you do not set aside your responsibility and your privilege to glorify God simply because the specter of death has come into your realm of existence. You don't suspend that duty. The totality of our life, from beginning to dying breath, is devoted to the glory of God. Now let me say this, just to take a quick pause, a quick break here. If you're not a Christian, you are not ready for this death at all. Death will just usher you into eternal punishment. And death is a fearful thing for you. And let the thought of death be that which would motivate you to come to Christ for salvation. But for the rest of you, for you brothers and sisters in Christ, death is approaching. Peter glorified God in his death. And I just want to lay out before you, even if you don't need to draw upon this for 60 years, I want to lay before you that you should approach death with that exact same goal in mind. When I die, when I go out of this life, I am going to be found glorifying the God of my salvation. You say, that's, where do you get that? Well, look, 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "Whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God." Do all to the glory of God. And I think when you take the totality of the teaching of Scripture on these issues, you see that we don't suspend that responsibility and privilege to glorify God at the time of death. Fear and pain do not suspend your commitment to glorify Christ with your life. And what I want you to see in that is that ennobles dying. It ennobles it by seeing it as your final act of worship in this life. It's not something that you simply go through to get out of the way and you dread it and you're in fear and questioning. No, as a Christian, your heart rises up to the greatest challenge of life. Your heart rises up to the greatest living threat. If you could call death a living threat. I don't know. I don't script every single word that I say up here. The greatest threat in life And you say, I'm not going to buckle my knee in fear, even to death. I am going to glorify God. I am going to trust God even when death approaches. And the manner in which we get to live that out is as varied as the number of people in this room. Some people lose their mental faculties long beforehand and really don't even have a conscious approach to it. I understand that. Some get the cancer diagnosis, and they trust God for an extended period of time, like a plane coming into LAX on a long approach. Death approaches like a plane coming in for landing. For others, it's sudden and it's unexpected. One of my seminary classmates was hit by a drunk driver when he was going out for donuts. Unexpected, just a simple little trip to the market for donuts. And he lived just long enough to look at his son in the car seat in the back seat and say, you go with the fireman. I'm going to go see Jesus. And in that dying moment, glorified God, glorified Christ, glorified him by manifesting the reality of trust, discharging his final earthly obligation, and then turning his face to heaven, saying, I'm going to see Jesus. Death didn't win the victory over my classmate. He conquered death even when it came in an unexpected way. Beloved, the details of your precise passing when they come are secondary. The key is to trust Christ when it does come. And what does that trust look like? We throw around these words, trust Christ. Well, what does that mean when everything you've ever known is about to slip away from you? What does it mean to trust Christ at that dying moment? Well, I want to tell you this. It means that you face death with faithful courage. You trust the love of God to the very last breath. You trust His love. You trust the faithfulness of Jesus Christ to bring you into His presence as He has promised to do. And that kind of courage is the high privilege and responsibility of the Christian life. That we would so nobly, so gloriously look death in the face and say, I will not be cowed by fear. That we would manifest as we leave this life that our confidence in Christ is unwavering, that our trust in Him can look at the darkest moment and say, my heart is at rest, my heart is at peace, I trust Him even now. And nothing will shake me from that confidence. Now, if you wrestle with this, and it makes you feel kind of uncomfortable, don't feel bad. I've wrestled with this too. You know, the prospect of saying goodbye to my wife and six kids whom I love and have spent life together, that's kind of weird. But God has provided a path forward from that kind of fear to courage. As we continue on in this text, you're going to see that God has not left us to simply try to conjure up this kind of courage out of thin air. God has given us what we need in order to live exactly this way. That brings us to the third major point, the provision for this kind of triumphant approach to dying. The provision is spiritual understanding. The provision is spiritual understanding. We saw the problem is the certainty of death. The purpose in dying is to glorify God. And what is the provision that God has given us in order to glorify Him in life's darkest moment? He's given us spiritual understanding. And I trust that this is going to be a wonderful encouragement to you. There's three steps that I want to go through in this third main point. The provision is spiritual understanding. And step number one in thinking rightly about death so that you can approach death with an attitude that will glorify God. Step number one is to let go of this world. let go of this world. Here's what I mean by that. Most of us, to one degree or another, enjoy life. And we should. It's good that we should. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. We enjoy all manner of graces from God, the love of family, a good meal, and all of the elements that make earthly life enjoyable, our relationships in the church, and we work and we get satisfaction out of our work. And so we enjoy life, and we should. God blesses us. He sends rain upon us and causes the sun to rise upon us, and we enjoy all of the good things from His hand. But as you enjoy those blessings, beloved, keep in the back of your mind this crucial thought so that you would deal with life from a perspective of reality. This world is not our destination. This world is not our home. It is not the final stopping point. These blessings of life were never meant to be the final destination of the affections of your heart. And therefore, we don't give them our highest affections. 1 John chapter 2, verse 17 says, this world is passing away. Matthew 6, verse 19 says, do not store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. You hold life with an open hand, in other words, so that when death approaches, you step back and you say to yourself, but of course, this was all temporary from the beginning. This isn't anything unexpected. God has given me the spiritual provision to understand what's happening here. God has given me the insight from His Word to understand that this was never meant to be permanent to begin with. And that loosens your grip on life in a way that lets you more readily say goodbye to it. So that when death approaches, this is what I would say to you if I was beside you on your deathbed. When death approaches, you can say in your heart, life has been good, but it was never the ultimate goal. I can leave now. If this is the time that God has appointed for me to leave this life, I'm okay with that, because I understand that this was never meant to be my final stop in my existence to begin with. I thank Him for everything that went by, everything that I've enjoyed, but I can leave now because I trust my sovereign, wise, good, loving, gracious God. If He's saying this is the time to go, I'm ready to go because my heart affection belongs to Him. That's the first step. Let go of this world. That's the spiritual provision for approaching it. Now, secondly, step number two here. This is the hard one. Commit your loved ones to Christ. Commit your loved ones to Christ. I think the hardest thing about dying is contemplating those that we're going to leave behind. But the Bible gives us direction and help to think through even that. And here's what I want to say to you. Even the most noble, worthy, satisfying earthly relationships, the most godly earthly relationships, the closest family relationships for the Christian are not grounds to cling to this life when death approaches. Hear me out on this. When you contemplate leaving those earthly relationships behind, what I want you to see is that you trust the Lord even for them. Let me step back and explain it this way. You have already trusted God. If you're a Christian, you've already trusted Him with the most important thing that you possess, and that is the well-being of your eternal soul, right? You've already trusted Him and said, Lord, I trust You with my eternal soul. Well, if you trust Him for the greater thing, you can trust Him for the lesser thing, which is your earthly relationships.
That's Don Green, founding pastor of Truth Community Church in Cincinnati, Ohio, with part one of a series titled, What Happens When You Die, here on the Truth Pulpit. Don will have more for you next time, so do plan to be with us. Right now, though, here's Don with some exciting ministry news.
Well, my friend, today I have an opportunity to offer you something for free that goes beyond what we've done on our radio broadcast. It's a 10-message CD album titled The Bible and Roman Catholicism. It's a series I recently completed at Truth Community Church, taking Scripture and evaluating what Catholics teach and believe about the Pope, about Mary, about the Mass, and about the whole nature of salvation. It's a resource that you really need to have in your hands, either for yourself or for your friends and loved ones, to know how to interact with them. And it's available for free at the place that Bill's going to point you to right now.
Just visit thetruthpulpit.com and click on Radio Offers. That's thetruthpulpit.com. I'm Bill Wright, and we hope you'll join us again next time here on The Truth Pulpit.